Good morning. As Bob said earlier, Pastor Graff is in North Carolina or South, I don't know, one of them down there, to see his granddaughter. So that's a blessing for him. He's got a granddaughter. It is a blessing to have grandkids. I have a granddaughter. I know you've seen her crawling around the church, and she has just been a blessing to me and my wife. If you don't know her, her name is Ember. She'd love to meet you. So, but I'm just really happy Pastor is going down there. It's just a blessing for the Graff family. And again, it's always a privilege for me to get up here and be able to talk to you about the Word of God. And I'm really excited about this portion of Scripture. I know Mr. Zarin is very fond of this, as well as, you remember, Eric Gosovich. This was one of his favorite passages, and it's mine too. I mean, I don't know if anyone ever does this anymore, but we talk about life verses. My life verse is 1 Corinthians 5:21. And it's just, it's what a blessing it is. But before we get into it, I want to talk about identity. What is our identity? So a lot of times we talk about, what does it mean? We hear the phrase, What does it mean? So I thought I'd talk about that first, because what we're talking about this morning, what Mr. Zarin read, you use to accomplish this all through God. So I just want to read a little bit here, and I'm going to go to some scriptures today. You can go there, but my lovely wife has helped me in some areas. And some people say, well, you go to too many scriptures and you're going too fast. She helped me, so she wrote some down for me. Thank you. You know, she's helped me a lot with this. You know, she always does, and I appreciate you. Thank you. But this morning, we're going to look at, obviously, the mandate that's given to us as Christians. Okay? We're ambassadors for Christ. And the message that we give is about reconciliation. And we're going to talk about that and what that means this morning. But first, let's look at the identity part of this. I've talked to my kids about this, and they always have good questions about things. Sometimes we don't take the time to answer them. And again, like for me, when I was led to Christ, one of the biggest things for me was understanding terms that I didn't understand. And Pastor Graff was very good at that. You know, just explaining terms, and God was using Pastor in my life and others when this church started to bring me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. From that point on, I always want to define things for people if I can. So what does it mean to be in Christ? One verse I went to was Galatians 3:26 through 28. So I'll read that. It says, in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor a Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ. Paul is speaking to the Galatians, Christian Galatians, reminding them of their new identity since they have placed their faith in Christ. It talks about the baptism when we're placed in the body of Christ. We're baptized. He baptized us into the family. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given the one spirit to drink. Several places in Scripture refer to the believers being in Christ. You can write some of these down. 1 Peter 5:14, Philippians 1:1, 8:1, no condemnation, we're in Christ, our sins are taken care of. Colossians 3:3 says this, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. God is perfect justice, and we'll talk about that today as well. He cannot simply overlook or excuse our sin. That would not be just. Sin had to be paid for all. Sin had to be paid for. All the wrath God holds towards evil was poured out on his son. When Jesus took our place on the cross, he suffered the punishment for our sin we deserve. His last words before he died were, "It is finished." We have accepted the presence of a holy God. We must be hidden in the righteousness of Christ. To be in Christ means that God no longer sees our imperfections. He sees the righteousness of his own Son. In Christ, our sin debt is canceled, our relationship with God is restored, and our eternity is secure. When you think about what the Savior has done for us to place us in Christ, no better place to be, amen, but in Christ. So, and I wrote these six things also go with this. And again, I'm talking about identity. If you're a Christian, you're in Christ. Okay, we'll get more into that. But the issue for me is this. Identity is important as a believer because you have to understand in Christ, you die to self. There's a death there. Okay, and we'll get into that more. I mean, too many times as Christians, we identify outside of the things we ought to. So I agree with Pastor Graf going over the things he's going over because there's about to be an election. We are citizens here. But let me just say this. As we get into it, we're going to talk about the ambassador. We're going to talk about how we are ambassadors for Christ. But we are in the world, not of the world. But at the same time, we have to recognize that our identity in Christ means Christ is first. Okay? That we talk to people. I know the big thing now is the election. Okay? That's the big thing. Okay, that's fine then. With that, you know, I mean, but neither one is going to bring the kingdom, and whoever's in office, God is placing them there. Okay? So our identity is in Christ. That's our main thing. And again, if you're in Christ, you're going to see the mandate you have. You're going to see what it is that God has called for you to do. Understand this, though. Look what Christ has done for us, right? Look what he's done for us. It's amazing. When you really look at it, it's really amazing. These six things here we go. I never really thought about this until I studied this. Timothy 1:9 says this, "In Christ Jesus, you were given grace before the world was created. He gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Okay, there's the sovereignty of God right there. Okay, "In Christ Jesus, you were chosen by God before creation." Ephesians 1:4, "God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world." And number three is, "In Christ Jesus, you are loved by God with inseparable love." Romans 8:38-39, we love it. "I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus Lord." Let me add one more thing to that. Your sin can't separate you when you're in Christ. If you're in Christ. "In Christ Jesus, you were redeemed and forgiven for all your sins." Major. It's a major deal. We can't take that light. "In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses. In Christ Jesus, you are justified. In Christ Jesus, you are justified before God, and the righteousness of God in Christ is imputed to you. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Obviously, we'll get into that. The last one is this. "In Christ Jesus, you have become a new creation and sons of God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Galatians 3:26, "In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." So this morning, again, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. I'm going to read it first, and then Mr. Z did read it, but I'm going to read it one more time. It says, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature.
The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so first thing, I want to define a few things before we get going here. Ambassador, okay? Ambassador is one, for example, there's an ambassador to the U.S., there's an ambassador to the U.N. or wherever. This is a spokesman for that country, okay? That's an ambassador, okay? Now, to be called an ambassador for God, for Christ, the Trinity, you're a spokesman for your sovereign. That's our sovereign. And the message is about reconciliation, okay? So we understand what you're an ambassador. That's a high honor, and the highest honor for our sovereign God, okay? That's a high honor. And also, the other term I want to talk about is reconciliation, okay? What does that mean, okay? That means a relationship is broken, right? Your relationship is broken with somebody and you need to reconcile to it. It could be a spouse, it could be a friend, it could be somebody at your job, who knows, a long lost a sibling, your family, we need to reconcile, right? But no greater need for reconciliation is to the God of the universe. And for him to offer you reconciliation is just grace, because he didn't have to. Now, we're going to talk about, obviously, what that means, what that looks like as we go here. But just what in the verses before we get here, like, for example, verse 14, 15, 16, 17 is dealing with your salvation, that you're saved. Paul's talking about this is where I was, this is where I am now, this is where we are now. Okay, that's what he's talking about. So verse 17, I'm gonna work with that one, then we'll get into 18, 19, 20, and 21. But this is showing you what new life looks like, obviously. And I have a few verses I want to go to. To demonstrate that, if I could. Again, it's, therefore, if anyone is, the key word, in Christ, okay, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. I have a few verses I wrote down. Romans 6, 4 through 7 explains how this new life, you have a new relationship with God, okay? And that relationship is different because of one thing. You have a new relationship with sin when you're a Christian. You've been forgiven for your sins. Romans 6, 4, 7 says this. Therefore, we have been buried. Again, we're talking about identity. If you're a Christian, this is your identity now. You have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. That verse goes right with that, because it's a new life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. If you're a Christian, you're free from sin. You don't have to sin. You have a different relationship. Though we do. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't have the power of you anymore. You have new life. You have the Holy Spirit. God has given you all the resources you need. We look at Paul. Oh, Paul wasn't perfect. He was still human. 1 Corinthians 30 says this. But it is due to him that you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You have all that in Christ. You'll have all that in Christ. Ephesians 2:10. Again, we talk about this all the time. They say 2:8 and 9, saved by grace through faith. They'll say that, but 10, they don't. But the new creature in Christ is this. This is why you were created. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Walk in them. Because prior to 2:10, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. You know, we Ephesians 2, we talk about being dead, but God. You know, but God. Due to time, I'm not going to go to, you can write this down, James 2, 14 through 25, dealing with true faith. And the difference between when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and we profess Christ and we try to walk as Christians, James said, well, show me your truth, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith, how I live. Okay? True faith works. That's what he's talking about. James 2, 14 through 25. Okay. So going to verse 18, okay, says this. Now all these things are from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, where I'm going to stop at is, now all things are from God. I stopped there to say this. And I don't know if you struggle with this. I don't know. But this is life-changing when you get to understand this, okay? And this is what it is. Sovereignty. When he says in verse 18, now all these things are from God, he's saying that all the salvation that he's talking about in these previous verses, all that's from God. Everything, every part of it is from God, okay? So I wanted to be clear on this. What does sovereignty mean? It means God is in control of everything, everywhere, and at all times. Yeah, I mean, when you get that, it's a freeing understanding. It's not a prideful thing. It frees you. But there's also responsibility with that as well. So we can't, I mean, we'll look at the year what Pastor Graf went through this year with his son, and even with my wife. But we totally, when she was down in the hospital, we totally trust in Christ. Because his sovereign will is going to be done. His plan is perfect. You may not agree with it, but that's his plan. Okay? He saved you. It should be gratification for that. You know? But that, I just say this as I go into this, is that that was freeing. And this is what Paul is saying. This is what he's saying. Now, all these things are from God. I understand that. Okay? And I'll say this. It's all done. My first point. I got 4 points. The first point is, reconciliation is by the will of God. It's by his will. Being born again, regeneration, all by God's doing. You know, reconciliation is a work of God. He is the only Savior, the true God. You know, we look at, and I'm studying something about the Catholic Church, and there probably are people in the church, the Catholic Church, that may be believers. Pastor said that last week. I don't know people's hearts. None of us do. But even with them, okay, we have to understand all these things are from God. But even with them, they look at God like, oh, I can't approach God. You know, we can't approach God. Okay, we got to use priests and we got to do this. I'm not a scholar on the Catholic Church, but I read this. And they also say that we can approach Jesus. He's a little bit more understanding, a little bit more, but he isn't like Mary. They feel Mary's nice. She can talk to God for you. She can do this. That's false. Mary's a sinner like anyone else. But they're scared to go directly to God. They can't. And again, I'm not saying, I know their dogma is not right. I'll say that. But I don't know people's hearts. I've talked to people. But then again, you know, we just have to look at that and understand it's all by God's doing. I'm going to go to a couple of verses here, you guys. I'm going to go to Ephesians. Well, I'll go to John 3 first. I'm going to John 3. So I think you guys know where I'm going. But it's important to point this out because Nicodemus, right, was supposedly knows the law inside and out, and this is what Christ had to say to him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes or from where it goes, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." What he is saying is this: just like you have nothing to do with your natural birth, right? You have nothing to do with your spiritual birth. That's just God. It's out of your hands. It's out of your hands. You know? I'm going to go to Ephesians 2. I mean, I know we know this, but we cannot in any way take away the sovereignty of God in everything. And I know there are Christians I believe that to this point, but not to this point. Well, if you think you added anything to your salvation, I don't know what God you're listening to, because you can't. Ephesians 2, I'll just read a few verses. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit of who is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even of the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." It's only by God's intervention that you're saved. Period. And one more I want to go to is going to be Romans 9:16. So it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about salvation. 1 Timothy 4:10, you can write it down. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. And this is the point I want to make. He is the Savior of all men in this respect. Okay? When Adam sinned in the garden, right? What did he say? You shall what? You shall surely die. If you eat that fruit, you should surely die. What did he live to? 900 years, right? You have to understand, there's people out here just like we were. We were sinning. We didn't know God. We're living wrong. God is a Savior to them too. Every day that you get up, whether you're a believer or not, that's God's grace waking you up, going to work. That's a saving relationship. Now, the difference is this. If you're a Christian, your saving relationship is eternal. Yeah. If you're not, the day is coming. But he is still, it rains on the just and the unjust, still does. Again, he is the Savior, the only one that saves. All these religions out here, this is the only one that saves. Yeah, by a Savior who went to the cross for us, to save us. Okay? Titus 3, 4, and 5. "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." Praise God. Praise God. So the first point that I want to bring up was that we are reconciled by the will of God. So clearly, it's by God's doing. The second one is by the act of forgiveness. Verse 19 says this. Well, I guess I should get back into what we're doing. I was just still in Ephesians. Okay, sorry about that. My wife was so good to write some scripture down. I said, you don't got to do all of them. You know, so. So 2 Corinthians 5, 91, verse 19 now says this. You'll see it in there, verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Okay, see, we're going to get into it more, but, you know, as I say, it's important to recognize that the whole theme of this, you see the word reconciliation five times. Okay, it's about that. It's the message. He calls it the ministry of and the message. And we know the message and ministry is the gospel. Okay, and this pertains all of this. But we're not able to do this without God doing these things that I'm talking about. This is being saved. So we had to be forgiven, right? You know, you can't, and when we talk to people, you know, you cannot hide the fact that you're a sinner. You know, this is what God has done through Christ, okay? God must treat us like we have never sinned when we're forgiven. And as you hear that, I don't know what that makes you feel, but when you look at what Christ has done for us, seems like a not the fairest thing on God's side of things, you know, at all. But we'll get into the great love God has for us that he did that, you know. Romans 4:8. And again, this is a mandate, okay? We're looking at all this, but we have to understand this is a mandate. We're mandated to go talk to people about Christ. We're mandated to, and you know what? God is sovereign. Don't get me wrong. God's going to save who he's going to save. But looking at this, looking at what God's done for us, we can tell them this is what God can do for you. It's important. But we have to be forgiven. Okay? Romans 4:8 says this. And whose sins have been covered, blessed. Oh, well, yeah. Wait a minute here. Okay. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. What a statement. What a statement that is. Redemption through him. What he has done for us. Psalm 32, I'm going to go to 32, 1 and 2. Without the forgiveness, there's no salvation, right? You have to be forgiven. Because what do you have to deal with? He has to deal with your sin. He has to deal with your sin. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What a blessing. Because, I'll say this, when it comes to sin, listen to this. Every sin that has ever been committed is going to be paid for one way or the other. One way or the other. And so again, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We're all transgressors, are we not? We all are. I'm going to go to Colossians 1, 13 and 14. And you know, I've used this in my testimony before because this is what it was. It's a rescue mission. Do you know how messed up we were? We couldn't know God. You know, he talks about the blinders being on your eyes until he takes them off, the scales. You can't know God. Before I came to Christ, I used to go try to talk to people. I mean, I'm from the West Coast. I'm from Seattle. I would be downtown talking to people about, the, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, that was just the thing to do. But I wasn't forgiven. I didn't have the ministry of reconciliation because I wasn't saved. I wouldn't reconcile myself, you know? But verse 13 says this, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption. There it is again, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, we can't be flippant about the salvation we have. You know, it's just, I mean, this is the thing. And I mean this sincerely. This is a mandate, as I said. We are ambassadors to Christ. This is showing us what God has done for us. And when we bring this up to people, when we talk to people about it, we got to recognize a few things. We got to recognize that, you know what a mandate is? This is what we're called to do. Okay? So you think about the people in your life that you know you need to talk to. I mean, myself, we need to understand. Look at our families. Look at our kids. Look at our loved ones. Before you get to outside of that, not to judge anyone's heart, but isn't that your first mission field? Your family? And let's not deceive ourselves into thinking, well, you know, my daughter or my son, you know, what he used to go to this church here, and we're about to get on it now. Well, now they're going to the Jehovah's Temple, Jehovah's Witness, but, you know, they'll say it back here. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Understand that. I mean, we don't judge. We understand. But a lot of times, you know, I mean, there's prominent pastors who will tell you that at one time in their life, they thought they were saved, but they weren't. And they had to get on their knees and ask God to save them. No shame in that. Is it more shame than that, than spending your life separated from God forever? It's God's sovereign will for whoever. But I mean, this is what God has called us to. You know, this is what he's called us to. And it's important that we understand that, you know. Since it's very important that we understand that, and redemption is in Christ. Without forgiveness, this mandate don't mean nothing to you. You're not an ambassador for nobody but yourself. Okay? So, the first point was, by the will of God. Second point, by forgiveness. And the third is by the obedience of faith. We run from that word obedience. We run from that word. But guess what? When you repent and believe, that's obedience. You believe, you're doing what God is asking you to do. Your obedience will never be perfect. No. But you're doing what God asks you to do. Obedience, that's an obedient move. Just like, what else? Once you're saved, what do we talk about as an act of obedience once we're saved? Baptism, exactly. You know, it's an act of obedience, you know. But being saved, you have to recognize your sin. You have to repent. God does, and the repentance is from God too. I mean, the bottom line is these things have to happen for you to be a Christian, period. You know why? And then we look at this, and we look at what God has done in this forgiveness. And I studied this out. Well, everything God did. Verse 19 again says this. The forgiveness, let me just say this. Do you ever look at your salvation and go, why did God do that? Why me? Has anyone in here ever looked at yourself like that and said, why did God save me? You know, I know I have, you know. Like, why me? What was the life I've lived? And, you know, just like when I gave my testimony couple weeks ago, and I was tearing up because I think of what God has done for me. I think about my mother and father being dead and what kind of son I was. I mean, I wasn't, you know, Jack the Ripper or nothing. But, you know, I wasn't the best either, you know. And I just think of that, and they're not here anymore, you know. Brothers and sisters, I mean, talk about being reconciled, man. There's just a lot of reconciliation I need, but the main one was God. Main one was God. But again, when you look at verse 19, he says, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciled himself to the world, not counting their trespasses against them, and he was committing to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation is obviously the gospel. But when you read that, how do you get to verse 20? Because what I mean by that is this. He's telling you what God has already done. By his will, you're in Christ. right? Then he forgave you, right? So then look at verse 20, okay? Therefore, okay, because of this, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you, on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Okay, why you gotta beg, Paul? They see all this, the forgiveness and all this. You know why? Because why? Men love darkness rather than light. They love their sin. But we're begging you. When's the last time you begged somebody to get saved? Let me say this. We know God is sovereign, okay? But we don't know who's saved and who's not. We know the mandate we have is we have the ministry of reconciliation. We tell you the gospel. We tell you how you can be saved. It's up to God to save you, okay? But that's what we should be doing wherever we go, whoever we talk to. And I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to tell you something about Pastor Webb, okay? When I met him, and I mean, you can look at Pastor and you can say this. You can say, you know, yeah, he's got to do that. You know, he's a pastor. That ain't him. That ain't him. From the moment I met him, we were about seeing people saved, giving people the gospel. The kind of people I've seen around him that's came to our church and the people he's helped, some people he don't even know I know about. But this man has a heart for the gospel, you know, for seeing people saved. Yeah, he had to deal with somebody like me, you know. I mean, I sat in the fair booth with him, and he's like, "You ready?" I'm like, "We're our whole mission. We're sitting next to a false church. They're coming out the false tent and coming to us, and we're giving them the truth. It's about seeing people saved. When's the last time you begged somebody to be saved? When's the last time you begged somebody to give their life to Christ? It doesn't have to be this person that's dying on their deathbed. It should be them too. But man, I mean, I'm talking to myself too. You know, because I'll be honest with you, many of you know I work at Walmart. I'm sorry. Walmart, you know I work there. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, I'm getting old too, okay? When I came to Christ, you know, listen, guys, if the ones that knew me know how I was. Like Paul talks about in previous verses, he talks about, I don't see man after the flesh anymore. I see them as souls. That's what I was doing. Everybody who came by and talked to me, I mean, they're just saying good morning to me. I'm like, hey, let me talk to you about Christ. Do you know? Hey, he's like, hey, buddy. You know, I wasn't, you know, you need to build relationships and what have you, but I was all over the place in this town. And to this day, there are people who won't talk to me. You know what door I'm at. They come through that different door. They even know my schedule. You know, yeah, I praise God for it, you know, but it's like, you know, but then back then I wasn't as mature in the Lord as I am now. I understand. But that's even made me kind of slack off a little, you know, because when you first come to Christ, you're like, you see the miracle that God did in your life. You're like, hey, you know, you want others to be saved, right? That's why this mandate is important. To say you're an ambassador for Christ, to say that you have the ability, because God has given it to you, to go up to somebody and say, my God wants to save you. Let me explain to you what he can do for you. Whether they understand it or not, that's God's Holy Spirit working, but you can do that. That's what you should be doing, you know? So by obedience of faith, okay? Men love their darkness. Because the bottom line is this, when we say faith, the emphasis is on you. However you want to look at that. We don't understand it totally, but the bottom line is they must be willing to turn from sin. They must be. That ain't your ballpark. You let them know. But I'm telling you, what you don't want to do is talk to people and say, oh, yeah, like some churches around. Oh, no, hey, we don't believe in repentance. You know, okay. You know, and I'm not even going to say you're sending them to hell, because more than likely, you're going there too, because that's a false gospel. You know, no, I mean, you can't be flippant about it. When you talk to people, you have to be straight up and say, look here, this is what the outcome of your life is going to be at this point. I've had people tell me, get out of their house. You know, I mean, like I say, I'm not as, you know, I've learned to do it in a different way now, you know, but the bottom line, if you love people, you're going to tell them the truth. You know, you have to, you know, and the part about them turning to Christ from their sin, that's on them. But point three is it's by the obedience of faith. You're not, with no faith, you're not saved. Okay? So I'm going to go to the obvious ones. Romans 3, 21-24, you can look that up. After Paul tells people, obviously, you're a sinner, this is what you're all the way through, then he gets to 3 and says, okay, but God, again, he's letting you know how you can be saved apart from the law, okay? I'll go there, you know, just so we get a clear understanding of it. I want my kids never know when I'm going to ask them stuff, so I'm going to go there for them on this. And I'm probably going to ask you next week. Okay, 21 through 24 says this, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Only the redemption and forgiveness is in Christ. We have to recognize the law can't do anything for us. Your good works mean nothing. They're filthy rags. Okay. Acts 16:31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Okay. You and your household. Bottom line is this. It is about believing. But you got to explain what believing is. Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked to a guy one time. I've told you this before. And I, you know, a guy, I'm not going to say who the pastor was. Two things. He came up to me in the store and he goes, hey, you know, I know you're a Christian. I want to ask you, I was listening to this blank, blank, blank. When I tell you about it, you'll know who it is. He says, I was listening to him, me and my wife this morning, and you know, I just want to get your opinion of him. I didn't hesitate. I said, oh, okay. I said, yeah, he's an apostate. And he goes, whoa, that's pretty strong. Yeah. I said, he holds his Bible up, but he never opens his Bible because he don't know the truth. Have a good day, buddy. That's what he said to me. He never spoke to me again, you know. But that's kind of what it comes down to. You have to explain it, you know, what it is, because there's people who are walking around. And then just another, I've had this on more than one occasion. People will say this to you, and you don't want to be harsh, but I talk to people and they tell me they believe. They say this, they go, guy said, yeah, I believe. I believe, brother. I believe in that, you know. And this one guy who was trying to get, I don't know, close to me or get to know me. I don't know. He came up to me one day. He says, I'm down with Jesus. I looked at him, you down with something, but it ain't Jesus. You know? So you get, but believing, that's the key word. You have to believe. We can't take that away because you do. But you only have the capabilities of believing by true faith, by what God does in your heart. You know, because like I say, there's been so many instances of people come up to me and you scratch your head. But I don't scratch my head because that was me at one time. You know what I mean? That was all of us at one time. We were ignorant. We were alienated from God, cut off, right? But we've been reconciled, right? We're getting it? These people are cut off. They're going to hell. We need to be reconciled. We need to have this ministry. We need to take this ministry serious. We need to be talking to people. That's our mandate. And we're sent by God. Don't read that and say, oh, well, Paul was an ambassador. No. He's talking to you. You're an ambassador. This is God's word. This is God breathed. You know? But like I said, guys come up to me and go, I'm talking to him. He said, yeah, I believe, brother. I believe. I said, okay, well, you going to church? Let me tell you right now, brother. Let me tell you right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, yeah. I don't believe in that obedience stuff. He said that to me. I don't believe in that obedience and all that, you know, church stuff. I'm like, okay, well, but you believe, huh? You know? Yeah. At least he was honest. I don't believe in all that obedience, you know, sanctification. But we laugh. But there are people in churches right now just based on the fact that, you know, Jesus died on the cross. I believe it. And I'm saved. Deceived, deceived, deceived. You know? If it isn't, look, it can be in your mind all day. Anything can be. You can believe in Santa Claus. Okay? But if it isn't in your heart, no good. Because remember, he took out the stony heart, right? Put in the fleshy heart. You're spiritual now. You know, that's the bottom line. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just a mind control thing. That's a lot of people may think that. But this is the other thing. I could get to a few different verses. But Ephesians 2:8-9, obviously, saved by grace through faith. Okay? Faith. You have to have faith to do this. Okay? But it's not easy. This is what I want you to understand. Those who are sitting here right now, who in your mind you may be, well, okay, I hear what he's saying. I heard this before. You know, I'm not really sure. I'm not really ready. There's many people that sat in churches and be like, yeah, but I know that's true, what he's saying, but I'm not. They know it's a commitment. They know God wants them to repent, but they're not ready to. 2 days later, car accident. You know, it happens. But let me explain something to you. Don't be flippant about it. Salvation isn't easy as people want to make it, okay? Because Christ made it hard. Christ went up to people, he made it hard. Hate your mother, your brother, your sister, all these things, and follow me. What Christ said. Well, this is what he said. Are you willing to take up your cross and follow me? Are you ready to die for me? That's what he said. He made it hard. But he could do that because he's God. It's not for us to make it hard, but don't make it easy. Make it true. Make it to the way the word says. Luke 13:24 says this. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Why won't they be able to? Because what they're doing is doing it their own way. You have to die to live. You have to die to self. The first step to eternal life and salvation is death to self. That's what it is. Now, so we looked at the first point being reconciliation is by the will of God. Second point, by the act of forgiveness. Third point, by the obedience of faith. Now, so we see all these things God has done for us. We recognize what God is doing for us in our past life to save us and everything he's done. If this is not motivating you to get out there and talk to people, I don't know what will. But this is what you're here for. Let me just say something real quick, guys. Why are we here? Why do we come to church? What, we come to church to serve people? We come to church to use our gifts, you know? That's what we come to church to learn. We do all these things, right? We come here, what? What's the church for? To build each other up, right? Why do you think we're doing these things? I'm going to tell you why. To get out with the mandate and get people reconciled to God. Because let me tell you, all those things I talked about, the worship and everything I'm talking about, you're going to do that in heaven. You know that. But one thing you're not going to do in heaven is tell a lost sinner how to be saved. That ain't gonna happen in heaven. That's here. That's here. So after obedience to faith, God's sovereign will, the forgiveness. Last point, verse 21. And I'll say it straight up to you. And I'm gonna read this to you before I get to this. This is the question. This is the question you have to that was asked in. And for me, I struggle with this, and I'm going to just read it to you. Romans 3:26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It took me a long time to understand that, because I'm like, how is it that this can happen? How is it that my sins can be forgiven? How can he make me righteous? I struggled with that. And then, because this is the question, this is the other question. Romans 4:5 says this. But the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credit to righteousness. Okay? What? He justifies the ungodly? You know, I would expect him to justify the godly, but guess what? There is no godly. That's the question. And what is the answer? What is the answer? You have your Bible in front of you. Would it not be verse 21? That's how. What is that? What is that called? The work of substitution. He had to die, right? Galatians 3:13 says this. Christ redeemed us from the curse. He was a curse, right? Curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He became a curse for us. But we can't go to somebody and say, hey, can I tell you about Christ? Wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? Being a seed, as believers, we're responsible to get out there and talk to people. Me too. I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to me too. 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For his wounds, by his wounds you were healed. Let me read the verse. I didn't read the verse. Therefore we are, excuse me. Verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's two parts to this, all right? And we're going to look at that. But understand one thing. There's a teaching out here that says Christ hung on that cross for his sins and went to hell to pay that price for 3 days. Yeah. That's a false teaching. It's ignorant. You know, it comes from the whatever it is. But people believe that. People think that. You know? No. He hung on a cross for your sins. He never sinned. It was your sins he hung there for. Romans 1:17. And let me say this. Not only did he hang there and die for us, okay? He had to live a perfect life first, okay? He had to live a perfect life before he did that, you know? But what he did, everything he did was for us. It wasn't just when he hung there for that time. Remember, you were saved at Calvary when he hung on that cross. That's you hung on that cross with him. Understand that. You know? Romans, this is totally unfair. Would you not agree? This exchange is totally unfair. And let me just say this clearly. I'm just touching these verses, and I'm just touching this verse. Because I tell you, Mr. Zarin, Pastor Graff, whoever, who's more done this way longer than me, or know the word better than I do, I guarantee you, they could do a series on that verse. A series. I mean, Pastor Graff, you don't want him to start that. Well, we'll never get to the life of Christ. You know, I love him, but you know how Pastor is. He wants to be thorough in what he does, you know. I want to get to the life of Christ, believe me, though. Anyway, Romans 1:17 says this. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. We don't deserve his righteousness, you know. But again, I'm not righteous. I'm not. But guess what else? Christ was no sinner on that cross either. You know? We get an imputed righteousness and he gets our sin. What a savior. What a savior. What a God. What a God. Philippians 3:9. Says this, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. I mean, there it is. On the basis of faith. People say, that's easy. No, it's not easy. It's a faith that God has to give you. God knows your heart. I don't know your heart. You can come to me. I'm saying, hey, man, I stopped doing this. I stopped right there. I'm like, whoa. Right when they say that, I'm like, whoa. You stop doing work. What did you stop doing? Now, you know what I mean? I mean, if it's true repentance, good, you stopped. But if you're basing it on that, I don't know. I want to hear your testimony, you know, because you're going to still sin. And then again, what is this? He listen to what type of God you serve, okay? Past, present, and future sins. All dealt with. All dealt with. I mean, it's about us understanding, oh, this is not my brother. This is not my sister. This person is not. Look, they're dying, going to hell. We're one in Christ. If Christ is about saving souls, reconciling, and he is because he reconciled you, okay? That's our call to do. That's what we should be doing, you know? And again, God is sovereign. I'm not saying that, but this is our calling. And not, like I say, Pastor Grab, he doesn't, just because he's a pastor, that's in his heart. It should be in our heart too to do that, is what I'm saying to you. Okay? But you can't be found with your righteousness. Your righteousness is filthy rags. You know? So basically, looking at this and understanding it, God loves us with an awesome love to do these things for us, to sovereignly pick you to be saved, to forgive you for your wickedness towards him, to give you a faith with the power to impute a righteousness that doesn't even describe you. You know what I mean? But again, identity, you're in Christ. Remember that when you do things, I'm in Christ. And let me just say this. I mean this with all, I've always believed this since I came to Christ. Everything that you do that is righteous, that is good, take no credit for it. That's God. You're in Christ. Christ is doing everything that you're doing that's wicked, take full credit. You're doing that. But Christ paid for it. Okay? Recognize that, you know? So, in closing, I want to say this. God punished Jesus as if he lived your life. And now he looks at you as if you lived Christ's life. How unfair is that? You know, you are in Christ. It's amazing to even think of that. Christ takes our sin, he's our substitute, and gives us his righteousness. This is called substitution. It's called substitution. We don't deserve it. It's a great gospel truth. It is a gospel truth. This is what was going on the cross. And God was so satisfied, but with the substitutionary exchange, he was so satisfied with what Christ did. Guess what he did? He raised Christ. He raised Christ. His son was faithful and obeyed. Went to the cross willingly and laid his life down for us. And all he says is, go out and give this mandate to people. It's totally consistent with the Bible. Look at Acts. No, you're not Paul. I'm not Paul. Paul saw Christ, whatever. His transformation was amazing. Okay? I haven't seen Christ. Nothing like that, right? He had one heck of a conversion, you know? But still, look at the other brothers and apostles. They were about, these people may kill me, but this is what my God has told me to do. Because what? Death means what? I'll be with Christ. And look at some of us. We're up in age. How many more years we got? How many more days we got? You're going to be with Christ. The bottom line is, I want to see, it's not going to happen, but you should want your neighbor to be forgiven. You should want your neighbor to have faith. You should want your neighbor to be in God's presence. We should want that. So this is the ministry of reconciliation. It's what it is. It's about telling people about Christ as what Christ has done for you and how they can be saved. God is a reconciler. We can't forget that. He does it by forgiveness. He does it by faith. And it is possible because the Son takes the full payment for our sins. So God is just. Every sin that you ever committed, that all believers through all history have ever committed, is paid for. It was all paid at Calvary. Now God can look at you and see his Son. He looked at the cross, he saw you. He looks at you, he sees Christ. This is the staggering, stunning reality of the gospel and of this work that Christ has done on the cross. And this is the heart of the ministry of reconciliation. This is why we're still here, to tell people about Christ and see souls come to heaven. So I encourage you to read that whole chapter because, like I say, Paul had a whole new relationship with the human race after God saved him. And I pray that that would be the same deal for us, younger people, older people. This has to be convicting to all of us, and we have to see ourselves as God sees us. You're in Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. You are the spokesman for Christ. You have the message that saves. I pray that we would realize that and do our best to have God guide us in that. Mr. Zarin, can you come in close? Thank you.
Let's stand over, we just missed in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's hard for me to even pray this because of conviction, Father, and the failures that I have every day in telling others about Christ. Father, may we go forth from here with a boldness to tell others about Christ, knowing that He is the only way they will ever know eternal life. Help us, Father, to put this into action in our lives, and don't cower when we meet opposition, because we will. But Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you for Brother Rodney. And we just pray that you would continue to bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.